And now, from the Center for Common Sense Counseling, here's Roland Trujillo.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Roland. The program is called Shedding Shackles. Christ told a beautiful parable about the sower of the word. And he compared the word to seed, which was sown. And he said in the parable that some of the seeds fell among the thorns and weeds, and thorns grew up and choked out the good seed. And he said that what that means is that a lot of people hear the word. Now, what do I mean by the word? What I mean is what you know in your heart. See, what you know in your heart is a wordless word. It's ever present. It's always there. It's your conscience, but you don't know that it's there because you bury yourself in thoughts and worries and the cares of the world, okay, and many other things. And you don't know it's there because you don't want to know that it's there. Because if you knew that it was there, then what would it do? It would humble you. It would show you that all your striving and huffing and puffing and all your plans and schemes and manipulations, you would see yourself for what you are and what they are. So you kind of don't like conscience because it makes you feel bad. So you kind of don't even know that it's there. But it's there when you were a little child. When you were a little child, you were very close to your intuition. At that time, it was intuition. You lived in God's light, and with His blessing, you enjoyed the delights of the world. You loved the grass and the sunshine and the flowers and your puppy and your cat, and you loved mommy and daddy, and you loved things to eat. But as you grew older, you fell away from this inner light. When you were a little child, you saw things. You looked at your parents as you were playing, and then all of a sudden you looked up, and there were your parents, and you saw them fighting, and you knew there was something wrong with that. You saw your dad was angry, and you knew there was something wrong with that. You saw your mom was angry, and you knew there was something wrong with that. You just knew it in your heart. So the word is the unspoken word in your heart. Now, sometimes something will remind you of what you know in your heart. Something on the outside reminds you, and it awakens you for just a moment to what you know in your heart. And sometimes you're deeply touched. Other times you are stricken because it reminds you that what you're doing is wrong. You're hating someone. You're resenting someone. You're being phony with someone. You're angry at someone, and you sense that it's wrong. Well, that's your intuition from God. It's always there. And like I said, sometimes something on the outside reminds you, and perhaps even someone's words. You might hear someone's words who awaken you to what you know in your heart. When Christ spoke, He bore witness to God's word. He bore witness. And His words had life in them. And people who heard His words and were receptive, it awoke them to the inner light from God. And that was the beginning of their whole life turning for the better. Everything, their health, their relationships, their peace of mind, their everything, including their ultimate salvation, began there. But now, some people, when they heard His word spoken, or when such people saw something on the outside that reminded them of what they know in their heart, then immediately it was snatched away from them. So let's talk about that after this announcement. And we'll also talk about the cares of the world and how they choke out the knowing of what you know in your heart, the seeing it, the realizing it, and the living of it. Did you know that I have over 900 video YouTube lectures? My most popular YouTube lecture is Never complain, never explain. So check it out at youtube.com or sheddingshackles.com. Hi, this is Roland. I just wanted to say a special hello and welcome and express my gratitude to listeners in beautiful Southland and Inland Empire, San Bernardino, Yucaipa, Redlands, Hemet, Riverside, Palm Springs, Banning, Temecula, Moreno Valley, and all points around there. Thank you all for listening. The good life is waiting to unfold. It's already there. It's waiting to unfold. And forgiveness is already there. It's waiting for you to grasp it. But alas, many people never find it because of some of the reasons that Christ spoke about. So let's continue with this train of thought here. I'm talking about the beautiful parable of the sower of the word, which you can actually read in Mark, beginning in chapter 4, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. So, like I said, I'll give you an example. Would you like me to give you an example? Well, first of all, you can understand how Christ, when Christ spoke with the authority from God, and when he spoke with love, and with firmness, and with kindness, and with patience, but with truthfulness. He was transparent. And what you saw in him was love and truth. Maybe they had never seen it before, never, in anyone. It was in him. And it awoke his words, which had life in them. Christ said, "My words have life." It awoke them to what they knew in their heart. It awoke them to their intuition, to their conscience, to the inner light, okay? I'll give you an example of how something can awaken someone. It doesn't have to be words. And I've given this example so many times, but I'm going to give it again. There was a man who was driving down the street, and he was angry. He was an angry young man. He was angry, full of hostility. He was just angry at everyone and resentful. And he was driving along, and a lady changed lanes in front of him, and he thought she had cut him off. I don't think she had, but he was so angry, he drove up alongside of her car, and he rolled down his window, and then he yelled very mean things at the lady through the window. He was on the right side of the car, yelling at her through his driver's side window. But then all of a sudden he saw that next to the lady was sitting a little girl in the front passenger seat. And she was looking at him, and then she burst into tears because of his anger and meanness. The little girl burst into tears, and the man was stricken. And he pulled his car over to the curb and stopped. And he sat there and he wept, great big sobs. Because he realized from the expression on that little girl's face, he realized in that moment his own wrongness. He saw himself for what he was, and he was stricken. Well, the expression on the little girl, what did it do? It awoke him to what he knew in his heart. It awoke him to conscience, to the inner light from God, to intuition. And that was one of the moments that began a turnaround in his life. And his whole life changed for the better, and that was one of the moments right there. So now can you see how things on the outside can remind you of what you know in your heart? Now, the closer you get to God, so what happens then? So what's the first thing the average person walking down the street, should they ever hear words such as Christ spoke? Or should they ever see the expression on a little child's face or see the hurt that they've done to someone and then suddenly realize deeply, so deeply that it penetrates some people when they realize their own meanness, their resentfulness, their hatefulness, their phoniness, their anger, their secret judgments, their betrayal of others, their betrayal of others. When they see that, They are penetrated by the inner light, and it brings what? What can it bring? If the light shines, and you hear the truth, and you know the truth deep within your heart, or you see the truth on a little child's face or on your wife's face when you're angry with, see, when you suddenly realize the truth, if you're receptive to that truth from God, from the inner light, the wordless light, if you're receptive, then all it can do is make you realize your own wrong and be sorry. What other possible attitude could there be toward it other than to just be sorry? It's like a helpless sadness. You realize that you're wrong, and you see that you're wrong, and you can't make yourself right, and you regret what you see about yourself. Well, that's the beginning of salvation, and that's the first things that you're going to see. You're going to see your own wrong. But then later on will come shining, beautiful truths and realizations. And the closer you get to God, the closer you get to that inner light, more and more things will remind you of what you know in your heart. And you'll begin to see beauty everywhere, and love everywhere, and sweetness, and kindness. And you'll see God's greatness. And you'll appreciate Him and His creation more and more and more, until your every moment is filled with love and appreciation and awe and wonder and delight for the discoveries that you make in God's light. Hi, everyone. This is Roland. I just want to take a moment to introduce myself. Well, I've been around 28 years now on the radio. I'm just a man with a microphone, and that's how I help people. That's why I've done this all these years. I just want to help people, okay? Well, I'm a lot closer to 70 than I am to 65, so I'll give you an idea that I've been around for a while, okay? But I understand some basic things, but more importantly, I know how to recover from them. Some basic things that go wrong, like resentment, hostility, and unfinished business, and not finding the purpose of your life, okay? Getting sidetracked, and conforming to other people, and then finding out you missed the boat. So I know how to recover from that kind of stuff. And I know the answer is spiritual, and it has something to do with God, and it has something to do with Christ. See, but here's the thing. Just hearing about religion, hearing about God, hearing about Jesus, it's not enough. You have to experience Him in your innermost being. And what's blocking you right now from experiencing Him is undoubtedly resentment and being lost in your thoughts, lost in your daydreams, and lost in your worries and doubts and fears. And so you have to learn how to stand back from those so you can get clear of them, okay? It's like coming up out of being under the ocean, coming up to the surface, and there's the blue sky and the puffy clouds, and you take a wonderful deep breath of fresh air. That's what you need to do to come out of those daydreams that become nightmares. Rise above them and then find reality. The blue sky and the puffy clouds and where the birds are singing. And that's why I've made a little meditation, too. I've made a little meditation that has been very, very helpful to some people. It's been very helpful to me. And I think could be just what you need if you really and truly want to get better, okay? And find out the purpose for your existence and find out just where you've been going wrong and what's been blocking you from finding all the good things that life can hold. The program is called Shedding Shackles, a very special program. We're talking about awakening to what you know in your heart. And when you do, that'll be the beginning of many good things for you. If you receive it and stay with it and believe it and don't fall away from it and don't resent it. See, most people, they immediately resent when they sense what they know in their heart. Remember what I said? Because most of us are so wrong. Most of us are resentful, secretly judgmental, and phony, and we're impatient with our children. And we make secret judgments of others, and we resent them, and we're selfish, so on. So when you come into contact with your intuition, the inner light, the wordless light from God, well, the first thing things that you're going to see are your own wrong. Okay? So, you know, if you can bear seeing your own wrong without resenting seeing it, see, that's the thing. Don't resent seeing it. Don't resent God's light. Don't resent your conscience. See, it's actually intuition, but it feels like conscience. Okay? See, if you always followed what you knew in your heart, you know, if you did, well, then you would have become an Albert Einstein, a Sojourner Truth, a Ruth, a Sarah. You would have become a Madame Curie, perhaps a Mozart, see, or a Stephen Jobs. You would have become what you were meant to be, but you didn't. Okay, and you fell away from it. And it often began when you were a little child, you saw injustice and you resented it. You resented your parents for failing you in some way. You resented other kids for being cruel and for teasing you, and you resented people, see? And that's how you began to fall away from that inner light. But if you always stayed with that inner light, then you wouldn't know it as conscience, see? Like, when you were a little child, you lived in God's beautiful green earth and loved it. And you had the inner light shining through you, had a brightness shining through you. And so you were spontaneous and happy. And life was a discovery process. Once in a while, you became aware of that inner light. See, it was always there, like a state of health or like sunshine. You don't even think about it until it's gone. See, like when you're healthy, you don't even think about how nice it is to be healthy until you get sick, and then you realize that it was nice when you were healthy, right? Then you appreciate it more. When you were a little child, you just were naturally close to the inner light from God, and you saw things and knew things, okay? But once in a while, you sensed that inner light as conscience. Like, for example, let's say you got really angry at your mommy, and you stormed in your room and slammed the door, and you were very angry at your mommy. And then what happened? Well, then you felt bad. Because we're not supposed to be angry. See what I mean? So you felt bad in your heart. So that was your conscience that was saying, hey, don't be angry. See? So, but then as time went by and you were angry more and more and resentful more and more, and then you became a creature of the world. See? You began to look for comfort, not from your conscience and from the inner light. But you began to look for comfort from the world, from your friends, and from things, and from toys, and from drugs, and from marijuana, and from boyfriends, and from girlfriends, and from teachers, and coaches, and things, okay? So now we're going to talk about the cares of the world. I promised I would, and I will, after this announcement. Please listen carefully. Hi, this is Roland. Are you interested in improving your relationship with your partner? Or how about improving your relationship with your kids if communication is not so good? Okay, and then how about getting rid of hurt feelings and misunderstandings and so on? Well, then you really ought to read one of my books about relationships and about marriage. And one of the ones that I don't talk about a lot, I should talk about more, is my book called Putting the Forever Back in Love. Oh, what a wonderful book. It's over 300 pages, Putting the Forever Back in Love. I talk about how to improve your relationship, what to do if your wife asks you to leave, how to forgive and forget, okay? How to stay married for a long time and live happily ever after, how to develop character and learn to bear suffering and grow from it, okay? And how to have understanding when you deal with other people, okay? And how not to judge your husband so much and how not to resent your wife. Well, may I recommend you get Putting the Forever Back in Love? Just visit sheddingshackles.com or talktoapastor.org and you can preview it for free. It's also on Amazon. Putting the Forever Back in Love. I think you'll really enjoy it. We're talking about Christ's beautiful parable about the sower of the seeds. which you can read in Mark chapter 4, the Gospel of Mark chapter 4. And I talked about the Word, the wordless Word, what you know in your heart, and how you fell away from it, and how you might come back to it, perhaps by hearing someone who speaks the truth, or perhaps by seeing the expression on your child's face or your partner's face and realizing your own meanness. See? Well, anyway, so we were talking about that. And then I wanted to talk about one of the things that Christ said in his parable was that some of the seed fell among thorns and weeds, and the thorns grew up and choked out the word, see? So it didn't grow. Well, see, the cares of the world, the cares of the world, and I want to talk about it in terms of stress. Let's say the stresses of the world. And what I want you to see is that you undoubtedly give yourself to everything and everyone. Whenever you react, see, whenever you, like, have you ever had a thought, you know, like all of a sudden you think of a bill that you have to pay or someone you have to call and question and talk to them about some overcharge on your statement or something like, something, you know, mildly unpleasant. And have you ever had such a thought, and then all of a sudden you feel drained of energy? You feel a letdown. You feel life going out of yourself. You feel suddenly drained, fatigued. Maybe you don't even feel like moving forward. See? Can you see how thoughts can drain you? Then how about people? When you're around people. Sure, when you're around them, their teases and their intrigues and their little temptations and their naughtiness and the things that they do. Well, they do, you find it somewhat invigorating, I suppose, but then afterwards what? Drained. You feel drained. So pretty soon everything drains you. People drain you. Your work drains you. And then you eat too much, and then having to process all that food that you ate drains you. And your cigarette and your marijuana. Yes, those are poisons. Your body has to shed off those poisons and eliminate the poisons, and that uses up some energy. Everything drains you. And when you react to something, when you're in traffic and you become tense or you become a little bit irritated, that irritation, you're giving yourself to the traffic. You're giving yourself to the delay. You're giving some of your energy to it, and it takes it from you. And even your thoughts can drain you. Can you see then how you give yourself to everyone? When someone comes along and says, well, here's a penny, I'm just making something up. And then you say, oh, thank you, thank you. You notice how you go overboard to give yourself? See, or someone asks you for something and you resent them asking you, and then you feel guilty for your resentment, and so you go overboard and do extra for them. You feel like you always have to serve people and be nice to people and do for people and make people happy and not upset anyone and not do anything that they wouldn't like, and you have to please them. How many of you feel that way? Many, many people do. But do you realize what you're doing? You're literally giving yourself. You're giving your energy, your life force. And so what does that do to your immune system? See? So the basis of so many of your issues has to do with giving yourself to everything. So now do you see the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches and the demands of other people and having been taught that you always have to be nice and you have to be friendly and you must smile and you must try to like everyone and you must give of yourself to them and so on. You literally give your life away. But you know what? You're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to be friendly, of course, friendly and good-natured and sometimes helpful. Okay? But can you see the difference between just simply doing some little thing for someone and doing it and giving yourself to them? Can you see the difference between just saying yes or no or thank you? The difference between that and giving yourself to them. Oh, thank you, thank you. See, there's a big difference. So you have to learn, and with the little meditation that I have, it'll help you. It'll help you to go through life like an observer, like a tourist, just observing things. Okay? George Harrison, you know, the Beatle, said something that was so interesting. So I liked it so much. He said, life is like a birthday cake. So he said, have a piece, but not too much. Have a piece, but not too much. You have to learn to go through life without making too much of things. You have to go through life without giving yourself to people. To be friendly and nice and sometimes helpful and do your duty, but don't give yourself to them. Don't emotionally give yourself to them. Okay? And you have to learn to go through life to, if you have something to eat, then eat it with a modest pleasure from eating it, but not too much. See, don't try to get too much out of things and out of people, and don't give too much. Have a little bit of neutrality, a little bit of mental distance, and then you'll learn how to be in the world, but not of the world. Okay? And then you'll have time and energy to realize things, to see things, to grow as God wants you to grow. Okay? And do what He wants you to do. Instead of serving people, serve God. Now do you understand the love of the world makes for enmity with God? So give yourself to God, your heart, your mind, your thoughts. He will help you. And you don't have to try. See, trying, you can't make yourself good. See, you can't try to do it. Just relax. Do the little meditation and see what I'm saying. That's all you have to do, is just see that what I'm saying is true. And then go about your life, and gradually, little by little, you will learn to be in the world but not of the world, and you will serve God. I hope you enjoyed today's program. I know I certainly did. You can listen to it again at the radio archives at SheddingShackles.com. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. You'll find lots of free, helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is sheddingshackles.com. Please remember that Shedding Shackles is listener-supported. Thank you.